Year of increase. All right, all right. We thank you, ushers. We started this whole year of increase. We started this whole year of increase. And when we started the year of increase, we started with Isaac. Thank you. We started with Isaac, and we actually went through that whole series about Isaac being richer, and then he became wealthy, and we entitled it Life at the Top. We began talking about how God increased financially. He increased Isaac's economic status, but it wasn't just a comfortable journey. It was a journey that required much faith. We talked about how to deal with opposition at the top. When you get to the top, understand that you will face opposition. Then we finally closed it out about talking about in the year of increase, life at the top, that you have to have your relationships intact. Settle differences and be at peace with one another. You know, that kind of stuff. Relationship stuff. Because it affects you. Life at the top there's a responsibility that comes with it. But then we get to this portion of our message. Now we're moving into the faith aspect of a year of increase. The faith aspect of it. Now, you can see success. But faith is something you can't really put your finger on unless you understand how to define it. Scripture tells us it's the evidence of things hoped for, right? Tells us all this stuff, and we'll deal with that today. But I'm just dealing with one part of this verse. It says, now faith is the assurance. Now, when you understand the Greek language, you'll know that that word means four different things. We'll dig into that here in a minute. And so in the year of increase, we must not forget that faith is actually how we can make this happen. I'm not just throwing out something here saying it's a year of increase. I'm saying it is a year of increase by faith. But Lord, increase my faith. Increase is accordance, you ready, to capacity. So you need to know this first. That if you don't have the capacity, you're going to stay at the same level. Amen. The Bible says that God has given us all a measure of faith. A measure of faith. That seems to me about capacity, but also it's also capacity along with ability to handle what you're capable of handling. I want to ask you a question. When you think about faith, what do you think about? It's amazing what people will tell me. Sometimes you say you have faith, but you don't really know if it's faith. I'm going to preach that on 6 o'clock on next week, that it's interesting how we can get so excited about something. Ready? We pull out and we say, oh, I'm going to do that. And then you get midway and everything starts, reality sets in. You're like, what did I do? That's not faith. That's not faith. If you decided what you were going to give today and then you just thought about it like that, did I just get that? That's not faith. Come on, help me, somebody. Faith. It's not complex, but it's something we need to understand biblically. I believe that if we get the faith thing down, everything else will follow. Miracles will happen. Come on, help me, somebody. Blessings will come. Windows will start opening. Come on, somebody. Doors are going to, I say windows first, because I want the windows of heaven to open up over my life, and then I want the doors so I can walk through it, right? So here's what I want to say. As we embark on the next chapter in this series, today we will begin with the foundation of faith. Now, the object of the whole argument in this particular book, it intrigued me. I don't know if you ever, anybody ever read this? Now, faith is the evidence of things. Oh, yeah, right, right. And you know, the charismatic preachers always emphasize the now. They say it's you got to have now kind of faith. That's not what that's saying. I believe that when you understand today what that now is there for, you're going to be a little bit more hesitant to start speaking things that are not. Amen. And interpreting scripture correctly is the key. Now watch this. Watch this. The argument of this scripture, when he says now, context, he was emphasizing the writer, who we don't know who the writer is. Here's the thing. The whole argument in this epistle was to keep those to whom it was addressing from apostatizing. All right? That means leaving the faith, walking away from Christianity. Amen. Being superstitious that every time I give or every time I commit, something bad happens. Paul, or whoever the writer is emphasizing to them that in the midst, ready? In the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering of some form, persecution, the tendency of all of us, write this word down, is to relapse. You can't lose your salvation, but you can relapse. The moment things don't go your way, you can relapse. And what the writer is telling them, and then he illustrates this in the following verses. He says, listen, you're not the only one that go through or went through or going through. As a matter of fact, if you look at chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Watch this. Without what? Some of us are like that wave. The moment things are good in our lives, we steady. The moment stuff got coming, guess what? We start wavering and stop doubting, and we stop believing in the promises of God. Look what he says in verse 23. He says, for he who what? See, sometimes it can be hard to believe God. Listen, I'm going to preach it by myself today. Watch this. Sometimes it's hard to believe God when you're asking for something that's going the total opposite direction. See, God is saying, hey, listen, I'm not a genie. You don't rub me when you feel like it. You don't come to me when you feel like you want to pray long and all this other stuff. No, he says, I promise that should settle it. Look what he says. He says, hold fast your confession. Watch verse 25. And this is for some of you right now. Yeah. He says, here's what the problem is. When life gets hard, the first thing you want to give up is church. Come on and help me, somebody. Look at verse 25. He says, not forsaking our own assembling together As is what? I only got you on the first Sunday and the last Sunday. I can't get you every Sunday. Because life gets so tough for you, you decide that I come when I want to. I come when things are good. I come when life is just good. You want God to increase your faith? You got to look at the context. Be careful what you ask for, saints. The text says, look, it says, not forsaking the assembling together as is the habit of some, watch, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day is drawing near. This is the context of now faith. Watch this. Some of you got this down to a T, but you're not growing your faith because the moment trials come, you shrink back. You stay away because, watch this, because you want to figure it out on your own. The context here is familiar. It is during suffering and struggling spiritually after you've done all that you can do and read all you can read, watch this, and you're ready to throw in the towel. Verse 26 comes in. And he says, for if we go on sinning, this is for the believer. What? I don't care. Young adults, I'm doing a piece for your conference about cannabis. I'm going to talk to you what the Bible says about cannabis. I'm going to help you real quick. Amen? Because here's the thing, right? Watch this. Watch where I'm going with this. He says, for if we go on sinning what? After receiving what? We come to church, we hear the words, life gets tough, and then we go right back. We medicate, we drink, we do this, we do that, we avoid, we hide, and we try to fix it. He says, if you go back to willfully sinning, guess what he says? You ready? He says, you're putting Jesus to shame. Look what he says. He says, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there's no longer remains what? A sacrifice what? Look what he says. Look at verse 31. He says, but it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands. Oh, I wish I had a few people here with me, boy. I sure wish I had a shout and cry with me today, feeling good as I feel good about this. Yeah, it's cutting, but it's good. It's good cut. Yeah, he says, if you keep on sinning, you think God is going to give you increase? You let me ask you this. You think it's going to do away with the problem? Nah. Look at verse 36. He says, for you have need. Here's what you need. Write this down somewhere. I put it in block letters in your notes. I need endurance. So easy to quit. If you think it's tough now, wait till you see where God's trying to take you. And wherever he's trying to take you, guess what? You have to be put through the test. Now, what am I doing here? Look what he says. He says, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of, see, one is doing willfully sinning and one is doing the will of God. When you willfully give in to your sinning, listen, you're forfeiting what God has already for you. But if you do the will of God, if you stay in the will, tell your neighbor, stay in the will, man. Man. He says, if you do the will of God, come on, saints, this is simple math. God, if I do what you tell me to do, no matter how hard it looks, I'm in your will, and what you promise, you will bring it to pass. I know it's hard right now. I know what you're saying, but if he promises, no, not if, he did promise it. Look at verse 38. He said, but my righteous one, tell your neighbor, we got to live by faith. I'm going to say it one more time. But my righteous one shall what? Live by faith. And if he shrinks back, That means you ain't coming this Sunday. That means you're showing up when you feel like it. He says, if you shrink back, y'all think church, coming to church, attend, do you know God has the role? Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith, because see, when I'm going through, why is it the first thing you want to give up is this? Why is it that you don't want to check into the hospital? Why is it you don't want to get the IV? Why is it you don't want your vitals taken? Why is it the devil wants to keep you away from this? Because you're close. That's what he wants. And if you don't know, is it Pastor Ebro? I know how many Sundays you miss. I know how many Tuesdays you miss. Wednesdays you miss. I know how many Fridays you miss. Now, you say, but Pastor, I had to work. I know. I got it. I understand. Listen, I'm an understanding man. But watch this. I'm saying you want your faith to increase. Here's what you got to do. Look what he says. I got 16 minutes. Watch this. He said, gosh, dogged in three words. Watch what he says. Verse 39, right? What does he say in verse 39? I got to read it one more time. He says, but we are not, you're not those, are you? Huh? Don't lie in church now. Okay? We are not those who what? Shrink back to what? What were you shrinking back to? There's a way that seemeth right in the eyes of a man, and the end thereof is death. In other words, if you want to do life on your terms, it's destruction. He says, don't shrink back to what you used to do or the things you used to be a part of. He said, don't do that. He said, that's destruction. He says, but those who have what? Faith. What they do? To the persevering of what? Now, so how is God going to increase our faith? Number one, our faith will increase only when it's tested. I'm under pressure. I'm going through. I want to shrink back. I want to stay home. I'm going to do church online every time. I'm willfully going to sin. Some of you need a detox. Okay, it's time to detox. You've been going too long now. Okay, and I'm talking about detoxing your mind, detoxing your spirit. Now, you've been fasting. I don't know if you've really been fasting. Can't fast, drink, smoke, and watch all the stuff we watch on television and say we're detoxing for Holy Week. Oh, come on, say amen. Just give me something. At least give me something. I mean, shoot. I know it's tough. It was tough for me when I got it. The bread comes to the baker first. Are you with me? And I was like, dang, God, what you trying to do? Ezra 7:10, Ezra said it's hard to study, to practice, and then teach. I can't teach it if I ain't lived it. Let me ask you this. Has your faith been tested? Now, the now there, it is used as a connector. It connects this verse to what was already said. And what does it say? It's a test that you can see if you have true biblical faith. You see, where you're going will require faith. And after he discussed, watch this, you know what he discussed before, right? What? Perseverance, endurance, confidence in the face of persecution and hardship. The author of the Hebrews, he shifts to define what underlines confidence, what underlines perseverance, what underlines, come on, living right, it is your faith. It is your faith. It is your faith. Tell your neighbor, it's your faith. Watch this. And this faith, write this down, is not blind optimism, but confident assurance in God's promises. Everything he says in chapter 10 is a promise that he who began a good work in you will in no wise finish it. Life is tough right now. Yeah, it gets a little rough. Come on and help me, somebody. And the devil has not left you alone, but I want to tell you something. It's your faith that will give you the confidence in God's promises that, yeah, I messed up, but I can live right. Yeah, I want to throw in the towel, but guess what? I got God's word as my promises. But here's the thing. Your faith will never increase. Some of you run from the test. You're running right now. You got to run to it. Run right into it. Now, the arena that, write this down. The arena that faith grows in, you ready? Adversity. I'm going to say it one more time. The arena that your faith grows in is what? Adversity. The next thing he says, verse 1 talks about the foundation of faith. He says, now. Let's go to the next word, faith. The word faith there is pistuo. All right? Now here's the thing about this word that's pretty interesting to me. The word carries the idea of someone being convinced that something is true for sure. The belief that God exists and that he is the creator, the sustainer, come on, help me somebody, and the comforter of his people. And that he provides salvation through Jesus Christ. Seems to me, therefore, that the word here has a reference to something which imparts reality. It's my reality. How do you know that you really believe in something? And so the second thing is this. Our faith will increase if we believe and trust that we have it. And let me tell you something. All of us have a form of faith. But I don't know if the foundation is real. And you got to test the foundation of your faith, because the foundation of your faith is Jesus Christ. And I want to say to somebody here today, you got to ask yourself a question. How do you really know you have something? That you really believe that you have it. Well, you apply it. You support it. Your life is centered around it. And that's what it is. In other words, you move in that direction even if you don't see it. Oh, I don't see it. But because you have it, come on and help me somebody. Come on and help me somebody. Keep the context in mind, because in trials, Satan is really trying to take your faith. He has you looking at the trial. He has you looking at the trouble. He has you looking at the persecution. He has you living like that. He doesn't want you to look in faith. Let me ask you this. Do you believe and trust? That's what the word means. The word faith means to believe and trust. Listen, some of you are suspicious about God. Why are you so suspicious about God? Come on, y'all. Come on now. Listen, keep the context. Watch this. God has co-signed everything. Biblical faith versus man-made up faith. There's a big difference. Write this down. Faith, you ready? Is the title to the things you hope for. Faith is the title deed. Anybody know what a title is? When you buy your car, right, and they give you a title, it means you own that thing. Faith is your title deed to say, I already got this. Let me ask you this. Do you believe? Do you listen? It's not blind optimism. It's not you wishing upon a star. Well, let me wait and see if God. No. I'm gonna help you increase your faith this year. This week. Forget this year. Now you know what the difference is here in this room, in this church? The person next to you may get it before you. And it's not because they don't have the same information. It's the fact that the third thing you need to do when you leave here today is rush out and what? Do it. Come on and help me, somebody. Come on and help me, somebody. Lord have mercy. Come on, somebody. Listen. You know what? This faith that I'm talking about, it apprehends your reality. Watch this. Apprehends your reality. It is that, watch this, to which those unseen objects become your reality. Let me see. It's not magic. It's not imagery. It's not, let's sit back and close our eyes and visualize it. No, it's actual. I got it. What do you got? Not the object, you got faith. And that's what the problem is. We put the faith in the thing we're trying to get, not in the God that's given us the faith to get the thing that we want. You got it? Don't put your faith in the thing. Put your faith in the God that can give you the thing. Are you with me? There are four words. There are four words. He says, faith is the what? Assurance, right? Watch this. There are four words for that one word assurance. Write it down. Ready? Number one is assurance. I'll break that down. Number two, substance. I got 5 minutes. Number three, I might as well just cut it off now. See y'all next week. The next word is confidence. So what we got? Assurance. Oh, somebody, today, I'm talking about today, your faith is going to the next level today. I'm talking about today. You're going to do something today. Assurance? Yeah, keep me on point. Confidence. Last one, evidence. So for assurance, that word assurance means support. That's what that word. So faith is the support. Now it's a present indicative active. What did that mean? Okay, present tense means now. That if you understand that you already possess or have faith, then the assurance is this. The assurance is now, not later. Indicative mood means it's a fact. Now, active voice means that I can't do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. So let's put it together. Faith is the assurance. Assurance is, number one, it's fact. Number two, it's for you. And number three, if you put it to practice right now, you will see it come to pass right now. Are you with me? Assurance. Watch this. The word assurance is the word, the name of the word is hupomeno. Hupomenos. Okay? The S at the end changes it from hupomeno to hupomenos. Now watch this. That word means to remain under. So watch this. So while I'm going through, remember what the context is. What am I going through? I'm going through trials. I'm going through tribulations. I don't want to come to church. I want to give up. I want to throw in the towel. Stay under. Stay under your faith. Let your faith undergird you. It's your faith that will give you the confidence that you need so that what you don't see will come to pass. So the next thing is, our faith will increase when we use it to support all of our decisions in life. Place it under. It is the grounds or the foundation for support. It means reality. In contrast, it's not deception. It is that which enables us, watch this, to feel and act with confidence. My college kids, when you go take the test, my kid, when you don't walk in there scared of, you know, walk in there with faith, take the test and pass it because you already possess the ability to do it. Now, what if you did that in life? What if you do that in life? Listen, every decision you make, God says you're not increasing your faith because the decisions you make, you do it by fear. You got one hand in one pocket. You got two stacks. Uh-oh. You got two stacks, right? But when it comes down to faith, you always go with the smaller stack than the bigger stack because of your faith. But he says if you were to take all of it and just drop it on there and say, by faith, when you go down there to the car lot, you promise these people that you're going to pay for that car. You did. You didn't even know where you were going to get the money from. But you signed your name by faith. It's amazing how we have faith for certain things that we see, but what about the things you don't see? When you came in here today, you sat in those chairs. What if I were to unloose all the screws? But you would have sat in that chair by faith. You felt it's going to hold me up. When you got up this morning, you got into those man-made vehicles. You were coming down the freeway, speeding and all. No seatbelt on. You got your seatbelt around you, not over you. Come on, help. I know some of you. Watch this. And here's what I'm saying. But you drove all the way here by faith. Watch this. You thought you already had in your mind the building would be open. Oh, you had faith. You didn't even ask who was going to roll away the stone. But you thought about it. You didn't think about it. You just got up. When you woke up this morning and you went to take a shower, you turned on the tap. The water was flowing. The lights were on. Not because you paid the bill, but by faith you have it. So why do you have it for things you see, but what about the things you don't see? What about the life you really want for yourself? Come on and help me, somebody. Decisions. A lot of us, the reason why we are where we are, because we're not making decisions by faith. We're doing it. Well, my money's short right now, so I can't do that. But let it be something you want. Let it be a BBL or something like that you want. Guess what? You'd be running after that thing by faith. By faith. By faith. You want that fake stuff, you get it. Oh, by faith. You want a tummy tuck and all that, you by faith. But when it comes down to your faith, just ding me on that later. Assurance. Look, the next word is what? Substance. Y'all made me pull all my money out of my pocket in there. What's the next word? Now, the word substance, you ready? substance is your reality. Listen, you're looking at your life right now and you say, "This I have, oh, it's just another day. This is my reality." Ooh, I definitely don't want to be around you. You affecting my faith. You wake up every day. First of all, there's somebody sitting in the hospital right now on a ventilator that can't breathe. Okay? They can't breathe right now. Somebody right now needs a kidney, but you got both of yours. Amen. Somebody need a lung, but you got yours. And you're talking about your reality. My reality is so jacked up. No, your reality is not jacked up. But what really is your reality? You're lonely? He gives you a comforter. Come on, help me, somebody. He gives you a community of believers that you can be around and encourage one another. I wish I had somebody. Substance. Substance is not blind faith. Why? Because it's who you're believing in to bring it to pass. So what's the next point? Your faith will increase when we let go of our need of proof. If he done it before, he'll do it again. And again, and again, and again, and again. How selfish I am. God, I want you to do this for me now. Yeah, I did all the pieces. I put it all together. Now I want you, God, to move when I tell you to move. Who am I? How the creature to say to the creator that you are unfair for giving me what I have now. Oh, I thank God. I had to repent because here I put everything in place. And then I'm talking about, okay, God, now do yours. God said, nope, I ain't doing it. You don't tell me what to do. You do what I tell you to do. When I tell you to do it, how I tell you to do it. But here's how you got to do it. You got to do it by faith. But now faith is the what? Assurance. Substance. Can I tell you something? Can I share this with you? Stop asking God for proof. Stop. Reason you're broke because you mishandle your money. That's straight up. You get money, but you want to spend it on things that you want. First, God says, I've already given it to you. So stop all that. Stop, manage your money. Strategize, put it up. You won't put up for victory, but you'll put up for the trip. Matter of fact, we didn't even see you for victory week, month, 2 months. First fruits. The things where you're supposed to be sowing to get a blessing back, you ain't doing that. That's where your blessings is. It's wrapped up in that. But you want God to move only when you see evidence. You'll be waiting a long time. You know how we ended up here? My faith had to grow. We would have still been in the TV store. My dad told me something about his church. I hope he ain't watching. They've been in the same building talking about the building fund. Okay? Talking about, well, we building. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And ain't nothing happened. Listen, I can honestly say, listen, my faith was not there, okay, when I started, okay? Listen, we were in that TV shop because I was scared. I had gotten shell-shocked because of Riceville, and we had lost that building. Not lose it, but we had to give it up. Watch this. But my faith had to grow. And God put me in a position and gave me time to grow. And that's how we ended up here, y'all. We ended up in this building not because I was just sitting around waiting. No, I had the faith. And I never forget this lady right here said, Pastor, we got here by faith. And I'm saying to you, we're going to buy it by faith. We're going to remodel it by faith. The money is already here. All we got to do is do what we do by faith. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about millionaires. I'm talking about billionaires. And I'm talking about in 1 week, we can transform this whole neighborhood because God knows that we got the faith to buy it all. Now, what about your life? Your business, your job, you want to excel? Use your faith. Use your faith. Use your faith. I'm over time. The next word is what? The next word is what? Confidence. What is confidence? Let me tell you what confidence is. Confidence is that quality which leads one to stand under, to endure. Watch this. To remain. To stay. Some of us are just so quick to quit. It get hard and you want to find a new boo. You want to give up. But your faith will increase. Here it is. If we can avoid what? Stop doubting. Stop it. I'm going to say it one more time. Stop it. This word substance, is the basis for something. Watch this. One sense of the word refers, you ready? I said it earlier. Literally having the title deed to something. In other words, you possess it. Or I already got it. I had a dream the other day. I'm scared to say it. I had a dream I was on the cover of Forbes magazine. People were making copies and I said, Forbes magazine? You only get on Forbes magazine if you are a what? If you've done something. Forbes magazine. Now listen, do not love the world nor the things of the world, but if the world wanted to recognize me for my achievement in the kingdom, I ain't got no problem with that. Let me ask you a question. What are you dreaming about? What are you dreaming about? Come on, what are you dreaming about? When did you stop dreaming? When did you stop believing? Listen, I said, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying to me? He said, keep living. You're going to see it happen. And then not only that, I'm going to help you to make some millionaires. I'm going to help you to guide some people with your wisdom that I gave you into that status, into that stratosphere. But listen, when you come, you got to come correct. You can't come with this every now and then wishy-washy kind of thing. No, it ain't working like that. You have to come with faith. We're on another level. I carry myself like I'm already there. I live like that. Are y'all with me? And I want you to live like that. Let's stop talking down about everything. Let's stop speaking death to what could come alive. Come on. Everybody's got a different path, but guess what? It all lead back to Jesus. If you have a king, Service King, that company, they became a $1 billion company on Christian principles. By faith. Service King. Y'all know that company? Yeah, a $1 billion. Their premise was this: people first, service, not profits, kingdom. Hallelujah. Last thing. he says, evidence. My faith will increase. Our faith will increase. If we what? In the one. I tell you this. Everything I've shown you today has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. Listen, grab a promise. One of the things I learned in teaching this business class is this. The church has done this to people. They have allowed people to just be focused so much on the church building and what's happening here that they're not focusing on what you could be doing out there for his glory. Okay? Listen, last week we had a company donated money to our outreach program to feed the kids. We didn't ask. We didn't go soliciting. But I figured, I said, man, if God can send 500, he can send 5,000. If he sent 5,000, he can send 50,000. He can send 5 million. He can send 5 billion. But it's by faith. And without faith, it's not going to happen. I'm going to say it like this. It's not going to happen because in Hebrews 10:39, he says, but we are not of those who shrink back. Stop shrinking back. Just because you had a bad day, you're being tested. Life is just so bad, okay? It's just so terrible. And I'm done. Most things that are powered by batteries have an on and off switch. Now, if the batteries are included when the item is purchased, then it's ready to be used. However, it still must be activated. As Christians, our switch is faith. And when you turn on your faith, you're able to have access to the power that God will give you to overcome. Amen.